The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by Citrix, offering GoToAssist, remote support made easy, and by HP Workplace Services. Are you an instant-on enterprise?
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is your IT prepared for fluid customer expectations? And our guests for today's show are Brad Vaughn, who is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer with Black & Veatch Corporation. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Sanjo.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
So how's the weather?
Hot and humid.
Okay, so you are
weather.
Okay, all right. So you are just closed within your own room and just typing away to glory, doing a lot of work?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. All right, so we also have Pete Cisronis, who is the CTO with U.S. Department of Energy. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, how you doing, Sanjo?
Very good. So how windy is it in D.C.?
I would echo Brad. It's hazy, hot, and humid. Classic summer weather here in the district.
All righty. And finally, we have Jay Keyes, who is the CTO and Chief Strategist for Data Center Services with HP Enterprise Services. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Sango.
All right. So where are you right now, and how's the weather?
I'm actually in Plano in Texas, and it's really, really hot, but not humid.
All right, good. So best of luck. No heat strokes for anyone. Enjoy the cold weather wherever you can get it. So meanwhile, as we're talking about the topic here, the fluid customer expectations, which is a reality today. Everybody wants to do whatever they want, whichever application, whichever device, and wherever they themselves are. All of that is changing, and they want to keep changing without anyone posing any command and control structure on top of them. So earlier we used to push back. Now we want to make sure that we agree to what they are looking for so that the productivity increases, we stand as a competitor in the marketplace, and also we have a sustained profitability and the very existence itself. So let's look at the what, the how much, and the where that we have from a customer expectation. So do you think, and Peter, we'll start with you, do you think we can actually create a dynamically scalable and extensible IT application and infrastructure portfolio where all the costs that are related could be variable and everything that we provision in terms of IT is on demand? Do you think this is even a possibility, or this is the Star Trek version of what we want to do?
Well, when you lay it out like that, what I like about, and we all know in our IT professions, that the evolution process, right, is always ongoing and it's fluid in and of itself. So to start things off, within IT, there's that natural or perpetual tendency to talk about IT or information technology as either new or old, dynamic or static, you know, early adopter or late adopter. And when we're talking about specific technologies, that can basically be stated as true. It's hard to have a middle-aged cell phone these days where you're using whether that old faithful device that you just don't want to give up and spend more money on a new form factor or try to keep up with this smartphone revolution. So there's always going to be that debate. It's like, do I want to lease cars or do I want to buy a car and run it till it dies? So with IT, there's a balance and a blend that I believe today, as of right now, in the federal government as well as in private industry, and as a consumer I can say this, that infrastructure needs to be tried and true so that we can run an email platform in a mobile environment or have an innovative technology such as the tablet evolution that we're seeing happen. It all, though, must reside on infrastructure that is also keeping the pace. So the role of any IT manager, I feel these days, whether you're a project manager, a program manager, or even at the C-suite, a CIO or CTO alike, is to balance that new with the old and ensure that there's somewhat of a set of services that are, as you say, capable for that flexibility or that scalability. Quite often in the government, we don't want to invest in the plumbing, quote-unquote, or the stuff behind the walls to support these new and exciting dynamic applications or extensible applications, as you point out, too. And that's something that is a problem today and needs to be addressed, because it's the stuff you don't see that costs the most money that enables us to run the really snazzy applications. So I think it's not only possible to modernize one's IT environment, but it's an imperative. And the demands of our world today, you know, regardless of what sector you're in, has accelerated and evolved to be much more rapid and dynamic. And this gadget envy, you know, people call them toys, but the gadget envy is grounded in that national and global need for, you know, what is it that I can do my job more effectively, or how can I? And you brought up that point about how do you improve productivity? I mean, weather reports used to be taken by someone at the top of a mountain every day or week, but now we need to know weather reports in seconds to predict hurricanes or tsunami or issue tsunami alerts. How do we do that? We do that with real-time technology capability. Again, infrastructure must support the gadget that enables that type of data to be transferred. So in closing, our job as providers of infrastructure is to create that ecosystem of an experimental or dependable tool inventory so that researchers, scientists, those types of individuals can get their job done with confidence, and that they'll be supported on the timetable that's demanded of them. Not every tool needs to be a production class before being rolled out. That's why proofs of concept and pilots are part of that line of sight, or that methodology should be baked into any IT organization's structure. But we need to be more adaptable and resilient in our infrastructure specifically so that our mission can be supported. So I don't know if that answered your long-winded question, but there's a balance here, ultimately, in closing, that needs to be discovered and maintained, I think, in today's society.
So, Jay, based on what Peter just said, do you think we can preserve the existing IT investment, which used to be the age-old mantra about how you bring about the real ROI or justify to the rest of the world that IT is indeed delivering value, and still make it this the super solution, which is where every cost is variable and everything is being provisioned on demand?
So yes, you know, I don't disagree with what Peter has just said. I think it's, you know, the key word that he came up with at the end is balance. You're not going to throw out all of your existing IT investment that you've made as an organization over many years, but you do have to find that operational model that balances both your traditional IT and the new emerging on-demand and cloud infrastructures that you're going to be, you know, going to be rolling out to allow your business the agility and flexibility that they've always wanted. So finding that, you know, operational governance process that allows you to glue both of those sides of the equation together, I think is vital. But I think there's also the fact that you've had this rapid evolution on the customer-driven IT side of the house, if you like. We've all been able to go out and buy these gadgets externally as consumers, and now we're expecting exactly the same access, the same experience in the organization, in the enterprise. And I think being able to marry that set of user and consumable requirements and the business requirements against the IT or IT against the business is going to be so important as we go forward. And that's going to be the way that you're going to manage to add in the flexibility that the clients, the business want, but likewise being able to reuse and evolve your current IT estate while still getting the value and the return investment of all that in, infrastructure or application software code that you've spent severe amounts of money on over the past several years. For example, the mainframe, 5 years ago we've been told that, the mainframe's dead. It's still very much there and will continue because of the amount of code and the applications that are running on those environments. Those still have to be integrated into the client-server world. And now as we go forward into the cloud world. So all of these are going to exist in a hybrid model going forward. You're never going to throw all of them away just in favor of anything new.
So, Brad, now we spoke about the balance and the fact that it is an imperative that we really go ahead into that variable cost and on-demand model. how much of that balanced approach truly is going to meet your need and or whatever needs that are being placed on you by your management and your business?
Well, I think if we've learned anything from this last recession is that if you enter a downward business cycle with a high fixed cost structure, your business is extremely challenged. And fortunately, we had at Black & Veatch had made some preparation for these inevitable business cycles by moving a lot of our fixed costs to a variable cost model. We've made efforts to divest of infrastructure and the labor to support that and the licensing models to move to a more consumptive-based approach to our resources. So as an example, where some organizations might take their messaging and email systems and they have a server charge and they have a labor support charge and they have a licensing charge and storage charges and things, we've transferred that to a single per mailbox charge. So we count the number of mailboxes used every month and we get a bill for that. And so when the business contracts and the number of users contract, then my charge for email contracts. And that becomes a very attractive model when you're in a declining business cycle, but also very attractive when you're in a rapid growth, either through a business cycle improvement or through a merger and acquisition or some external shocking event like that. So the variable cost is very attractive to us, and it's one of my key strategies of moving the organization forward is whenever I have an opportunity to take a fixed cost and turn it into an operational cost, I take it. It effectively moves, if you think about it, moves your cost structure up above the line so you can start matching revenue with expenses and get away from the overhead concept of IT. So I find it's been very effective.
Now, Brad, what you just mentioned is everything has to be variable. An example that you took was email, and that, of course, is the most common and most obvious example. And I'm sure there would be a lot of organizations who would be the first thing that they would ever go into the variable model with would be this email. There are some many more complex, heavily intertwined applications, which if could be taken into a variable model or infrastructure components, which could be taken to a variable model, would bring far more ROI with this transformation. So do you think people are just trying and, you know, getting their feet wet and trying to just get this email going into the variable model, or they're going gung-ho with this and going full throttle with all possible applications? And you know what? Hold that thought, though. Let's take a quick break. Listeners, we'll be right back, and let's hear your response.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Competing in this world takes a special kind of workplace technology that adapts to change, that allows seamless and personalized interaction. Introducing Workplace 360, HP's full lifecycle desktop management solution, delivered as a service. User subscriptions allow you to gain financial control and flexibility. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
All right, welcome back. So, Brad, besides email, which other applications do you think are worth transforming so that you truly can see a better and a bigger ROI?
Yeah. So it may not just let's not restrict it just to applications, right? It's the total environment. And I know the lure is to go dip your toe into this cloud computing environment and drive some cost efficiencies or some other business metric or IT metric. I want to back up a little bit and reinforce the notion that anything you do in IT needs to be part of a disciplined business and IT architecture and transformation strategy. Going out in undisciplined purchasing cloud services, I think, will ultimately end in disaster. Any IT organization needs to make sure that they're aligned with the business needs and that they have a portfolio of compute resources that deliver business value. And so my previous example cited email, which is a pretty low-level, easy pick these days. But to move that up into more business-impactful applications takes a lot more discipline and thought and governance and compliance issue than just email. So, you know, many of our businesses, and Pete certainly can emphasize this, that we have compliance issues to deal with. So mm-hmm. around personal information privacy, around export controls, around ITAR, security of intellectual property, all those things need to be factored in when you select any kind of supplier, whether it's an on-premise supplier or it's a cloud supplier. And so it's not so much running out and virtualizing your environment to get the benefits of cloud, but it's make sure that you've done a complete risk management profile of what you're trying to accomplish. How does the resource align with the workload, and are you protecting the corporation in your selection of these resources?
Now, Jay, question is that we are, of course, reacting to suddenly the world around us changing, and now we want to transform the business and IT in order to be prepared. But are we doing anything which is proactive so that whatever needs are not there yet, we are still working towards making sure that we don't suddenly wake up yet again? And along with that, a question would be to inventory that where, how much, and with whom this transformation should be taking place.
Yeah, so this is not a kind of a one-stop organization is going to you know, swoop in and perform your transformation for you, and hey presto, overnight everything is magically, you know, as you expected, the end state vision. This is a partnership both with whichever supplier, whether it's your internal IT organization or whether your external supplier, you know, software partners, IT outsourcer, etc., and with the business, because this is not just about technology change now. This is about the whole environment change, as Brad said. So the organization as a whole is going to have to figure out how they manage yet another set of suppliers for the cloud environment alongside their traditional environment. That's going to change procurement processes. It's going to change, you know, internal cost recovery processes. There's all sorts of areas within the business that will have to adapt and change. So that transformation now is not just about transforming, you know, or virtualizing servers, for example, which is, you know, is very low down at the technical level. So the governance structure and the symbiotic relationships and partnerships between these different organizations is something that you've got to work at, a bit like relationships in marriage. You know, you have to work at those continuously to make sure that they function and they don't degrade and you get the result that you expect. So that is the important thing that, from a transformation perspective, has got to be you know, recognized within an organization and worked through. Expecting just to have one very large program plan with an end state vision, but no understanding of the tactical steps that the business has to take, the partners have to take, the IT organization has to take, and the impact that transformation is going to affect on the business and the business processes, the applications, you know, that are functioning for the organization, that are delivering, you know, the actual benefit to the customer base of that organization is so critical. It's, you know, I can't stress how important it, that is going to be over the coming years. And that's more so now with the advent of cloud and the things that you can do now technically, but also expecting, you know, to be able to have portals, workflow, automation, orchestration, all of those technologies that have, you know, innovated over the last five to seven years are all very, very strong. But the areas of skills, change management, you know, people process are the foundational pieces that allow that technology to function and deliver the benefit. So that is critical in the transformation in my mind.
Peter, this is interesting what Jay said, because it looks like that there is, of course, devil is in the implementation. And if you were to go ahead and inventory what all you put on the table with respect to where, how much, and with whom this transformation took take place, would you start at the time of envisioning or inventorying some things like those, start also getting bothered with the implementation details and then accordingly remove some things from your plate?
Well, when it comes to feeding off that, I mean, it's a great question. I mean, how do you inventory? Where do you start? How much with whom? I liked how you laid that out. And, you know, as both Jay and Brad have mentioned, if we don't transform or if we fail to transform, whatever methodology is used, and that could be sitting in a room, whiteboarding, brainstorming, coming up with a concept, and then architect investing and ultimately implementing a solution, the steps that are typically forgotten, maybe, you know, not played out as much are the conceptual stage and then the adoption stage. And that is making sure that what you invest in or architect not only gets deployed, but it is adopted by the customer community. So if IT fails to transform, obviously we would all be stuck still having to learn Morse code to communicate. So in general, a response to that I like is that as humans, we're basically social individuals, right? If there's one absolute category where communication is the leading effort, and that's in transformation, it in fact is. How do we communicate? We've evolved from telegraph to post office to email to cell phones to video conferencing to, you know, FaceTime on iPads and just or Skyping and having video. We expect to be mobile and communicating visually. Who do we communicate, right? With whom? From a few people to social circles now. We know the Twitters and the Facebook and now Google Plus, and sharing information from the bottom up instead of the more traditional or in addition to traditional hierarchical methods. And when do we communicate? This concept of prescribed meetings as the most effective means of communication, you know, the office in the room with no video conferencing is from 9 to 5 is when we will meet, and after hours, we know that's not the case anymore, but prescribed meetings typically work. But then is, how are you connecting folks who are global? How are you connecting folks who are mobile? So in practice, as we're evolving away from the fact that this is traditionally how we must communicate, we know that communication is the key, right? Communication, coalition building, being engaged with the customer, that's critical to whether you're a profit institution or even a nonprofit. So we can't be, I believe, too prescriptive about where this transformation occurs. It's easy to prescribe the means of identifying where it must take place. Go ask the customer, right? Go ask and talk about, if you're doing an inventory and it's so straightforward, you don't always want to think for the customer. You need to make time to hear the voice of the customer. And that sounds cliche, but it's really really easy in our profession in IT to think we know what's right, meaning the gadget or that gadget envy, or to make life easier, when it's just as simple or easier to sit down and say, what are your needs? So with the Department of Energy, a good example is we initiated a road mapping exercise to do just this, and it created an incredible, amazing dialogue and feedback from our IT leaders across the DOE. We kicked it off last summer, and what we learned is that things we need to expect from customers, or that we learn to expect by someone at the top, is that video conferencing, security or secure email, it's all what IT they needed to implement to support their mission. We wanted to, in the Office of the CIO, understand and let them know, we know your mission. We know you have some type of services that require IT. Why are they critical? How can they be implemented, or what are the trade-offs to prioritize specific service offerings at a specific cost? So having that dialogue, and these are two-hour sessions with individual CIOs, program managers, lab directors, associate lab directors in our very multifaceted federated environment. And what came up in more than a few cases is that we've learned that some of the technologies we in the headquarters office are road mapping are already deployed, back to the point of how do you deploy and then adopt, and that the infrastructure and knowledge that is being done in other parts of the DOE, we could leverage in headquarters. So there's no sense recreating anything from scratch. It's really this power of collaboration, having an open source community, and we'll talk about that later, is how, and one that we're applying here at the DOE as well as across government. So another tool that we leverage is the crowdsourcing concept. The White House has proved this out recently. The VA has leveraged crowdsourcing. We at the DOE used it as part of our exercise last summer. But again, regardless of how you conduct your inventory, you have to commit to reacting accordingly. And this is where, in our case, with our leadership, with Mike Lukaitis, Bob Breeze, these folks have come in and helped usher in a change of transformation and partnership and collaboration first and foremost, so that we now are hearing that voice of the customer, and we're making the effort to not push down requirements and compliance on these folks, but to say, hey, we can learn from you. And these are risks. These are some chances that we take, but credibility's at stake. And, you know, if we can just listen and have that dialogue, I think we can be more effective. And lastly, we're developing a wiki tool, which is known as Powerpedia here at the department. This isn't faster email or bigger hard drives. It's truly a fundamental new way of collaborating and sharing information. People are learning and starting to adopt the concept of, I'm not going to send an email with an attachment to pass information on. I'm going to send a link to a site that has information for me on my screen. It's a tool that makes our infrastructure more adaptable and resilient. It matches our requirements of our mission. Whatever the immediate and long-term needs might be, this is the process of evolution. And again, the key here is, folks, you can't give them a tool like Powerpedia and say, go forth and have it. It needs to be adopted, and then we start to see this transformation to a more collaborative environment.
So, Brad, we will, of course, you know, I'll pose a question for you, and then we'll get into the break and come back. So the question here is, while we spoke, and Peter made some excellent points around customer-driven innovation, so we go to them, get some ideas from them, and perhaps they might already be using some of those technologies, and bring them back to our own drawing boards and see how we can get them adopted. Number one, do customers truly understand themselves, what they want, to the degree that everything that we ever envisioned for is already coming from the customer versus we wowing them all the time, and or at least some of the times where something said they did not think they could get, you give them a pleasant surprise. That's number one. Second is the fact that you have to implement something. The governance is some of them, it plays a very important role. So do you think the old style governance model would hold true in the new one? But please hold your thought, perhaps process the question, and when we come back from the break, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Please stay tuned, listeners.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Competing in this world takes a special kind of workplace technology that adapts to change, that allows seamless and personalized interaction. Introducing Workplace 360, HP's full lifecycle desktop management solution delivered as a service. User subscriptions allow you to gain financial control and flexibility. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. Go to Assist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's remote support made easy.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network. You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Brad, two-part questions quickly. Do really customers know everything they want and or we have an opportunity to give them a pleasant surprise? And secondly, in order to implement things well, do you think the governance model is going to hold ground, which is based on the traditional way how we used to serve our customers or implement IT?
Right. So I certainly think that Pete's comments around gaining perspectives from our customers is important. But typically they come with a more confining view of their business. They may be confined to an individual business unit and they're focused on that market or that set of clients or that mission. And CIOs have a responsibility for a much broader perspective across the enterprise, that we have a key vantage point where we see the enterprise needs rather than individual functional needs. And so let me give you an example of a success story here at Black & Veatch that kind of emphasizes my point. So we had an aging telephone system that needed to be replaced. If you went and asked every user, they would have said, yeah, give me a new handset. I want the old voicemail capabilities and et cetera, et cetera. We took the opportunity to say, no, let's not just replace what we have. Let's modernize it with a full unified communications suite. And we put this in terms of an operational mission to the company, and that was we're a global organization. We need to drive integration of our global workforce so that they can better collaborate and communicate, that they can find and connect and communicate and share more easily. At the same time, we rely on a number of vendors and business partners in our core business to execute our projects. So this notion of engaging and collaborating with an extended enterprise is important to us as well. So as we transformed our operational model from a centralized production entity, essentially most of the work and traditionally being done in headquarters in the U.S., done by internal Black & Veatch professionals, we needed to move to an external distributed model where we use the entire global workforce to help us deliver projects, and we engage our business partners and vendors and clients in that solution. We introduced Unified Communications Suite because it offered this element of mobility, that I wasn't tied to a fixed phone in a desk, that my global workforce could be mobile, plus my company could be mobile. It has desktop sharing, has presence and awareness capabilities, has instant messaging capabilities. So where we used to have in our Overland Park office some 25,000 email voicemails a week that represented a missed opportunity to communicate and a missed opportunity to collaborate. Now we have presence and awareness indicators. We have IM messaging. We have one-touch dialing, anywhere communications, desktop sharing. So our engineers in the field can communicate with our home office engineers on a particular construction problem and visualize and share documents and pictures and photos of things. We put that phone upgrade in those terms. We had amazing adoption. We had a little resistance at first because it was new technology, but once we saw the grander tool set and the grander vision that unified communications could bring to the organization, it was widely adapted. And so that's a case where the users would have asked for, just give me a shiny new version of the old technology. And we took them outside their comfort level to a new technology, and now you couldn't displace that today. We couldn't yank that from the users. Desktops has just it's become embedded in a very short time and been widely successful.
Jay, you are Brad, you want to continue? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to go to the second question, but why don't you give Jay some time to talk here? So,
no, that's totally all right. So Jay, let me ask you this question with respect to the customer, and of course, I would like to also ask you, given you get the privilege of talking to a lot of different companies. The transformation that has to happen, I think governance plays a big, important role. Then the typical facilities that are there, the services and solutions that are available as a stack to different companies, all of them need to be touched in some form or other in order for this so-called ecosystem to transform into the new age. So if you, based on your experience, just quickly inventory, what is it that should happen, and what do you think is happening, and where all the challenges are? Then we'd love to, you know, take that forward as a, you know, platform for us to discuss with Pete and Brad as well.
Okay, so that's quite a question in its own right, actually.
I like asking all loaded questions. How about that?
I was going to say that's, you know, you could spend several hours just trying to answer that question. In, you know, governance, as you said, is going to be critical. And really what we're talking about here is the successful management of a hybrid delivery operation. The complexity of governing that operation of two or more, you know, multiple systems and sets of services that are fundamentally different in nature, whether they're, you know, traditional, they've grown over time, they're probably highly customized, and they're very focused on, you know, that business process or that desired functional output, compared to, you know, the new emerging sort of virtualized, on-demand, cloud-related services that are obviously very highly adaptable and flexible, larger amounts of software products, and they're really about the presentation and the execution of self-service functions or catalog services, for example. And the time scale is dramatically, you know, improved from that respect. It brings a whole pile of added complexity. You know, potentially you've got multiple suppliers, you've got far more software to operate and manage than you ever had before. So, you know, your processes around procurement, your license management, you know, how your users interact with multiple different systems, you know, because they could have multiple devices to access all of those different, you know, systems and software and application. You've got to balance all of the, you know, the usability, the accessibility, the security, but cost profile as well, cost, you know, envelope, while still trying to maintain that service quality and the customer experience. So we have quite a few methods, you know, mechanisms such as the ITIL, you know, V3 framework, for example, for dealing with some of this, you know, plethora of IT that we have that is obviously delivering to the business. I would say that the federation of the types of models that are already out there and the extension of those models is going to be needed in order to allow all of this to coalesce into a, you know, into an ecosystem that we feel we have some form of control around. Because, you know, without control, then obviously your costs are going to run away, your users are going to be unhappy. Talking with many, many clients, as I do, you know, on a weekly basis, they all express those sorts of concerns around, you know, the traditional things that we've always had in the IT space, but very much more now from a business-centric and a service-centric view of the world. It isn't about just the server or the data center or the, you know, the email box for a user. It is about the whole experience and managing that whole experience. And that turns into, you know, the types of skill sets that you need to have within your organization or within your supplier partnerships in order to understand how you formulate strategy and then how you execute that transformation, both from a long-term vision and, you know, the steps along the journey, if you like. You may end up down some cul-de-sacs that are quite, you know, quite okay, but at some point you may want to turn around and go a different route. So understanding those tactical steps that you've got to take is vitally important. The governance of all of that is critical moving forward. I think the types of skill sets that we're all going to have to develop, we're going to have to get stronger on strategy. And there's a great book out there by Mintzberg et al. Called Strategy Safari, which is a really, really good read and allows you to kind of formulate the different views of how strategy is formulated and executed within an organization and allows you to look at different parts of the organization and their perspectives of how they see or perceive a change and, you know, a strategic change moving forward. I recommend that book. That's a really good read. So the types of skills that people are going to have to develop are, you know, IT are going to have to learn business skills. Business people are going to have to understand how to communicate in more fluid fashion so that the IT organizations can grasp the need and the requirement that they can then translate into a service or a solution. All of these take time. And I think we're going to see that, you know, evolving over the next few years. The technology is there now. We all know the technology is there. How you implement it and how you get the best value to deliver business results is really the critical piece.
Brad, very quickly coming back with respect to governance, do you think what Jay just mentioned with respect to the governance model requiring a transformation as well, do you think we are going to be able to change all that while making sure that you have a legacy version of the governance model as well as the new version which will be able to handle this on-demand provisioning?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with what Jay's comments, and I think the CIO's role is transformed over the years from one of being kind of a technologist or implementer of technology to more of a strategist and orchestrator and business partner. We're seeing every organization is on this transformation journey, and you're going to have a hybrid environment, right? You're going to have your self-developed applications that are hosted on your premises and that are critical to your business, and it's going to, the landscape's going to go to infrastructure as a service or applications as a service or software as a service, always to fully managed, fully cloud services. And you're going to have this hybrid environment that requires a very strict governance or mature governance and orchestration, so all these parts and pieces work together. I could see in the future that many organizations, their CIO organization, will be nothing but a governance and orchestration environment rather than a doer, you know, an implementer and running the plumbing and wiring up the gear. It's more important to be in that higher level transformative strategic level that is making sure that all the parts and pieces are orchestrated to accomplish the business mission, and where those resources are provided and who provides those are less important to the user, critically important to the business, but it becomes transparent to the user. And that takes a pretty mature organization top to bottom to affect that kind of transformation.
Pete, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and learn your thoughts on the following question. When you look at the already what we have on our plate, and on top of it, we want to do this transformation, and of course we are saying it's imperative. Do you think the resource constraint that is the second nature or that's a given for any IT organization, is an organization's executive management willing to share the vision to the degree that they'll say, okay, I see that you're going to transform this and you are painting a picture where we'll get a great ROI, but I do not want to give you all the money up front because they have been burnt in the past and they don't have that type of patience. What do you think you will have to do in order to invest without asking too much from the bosses? Please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Competing in this world takes a special kind of workplace technology that adapts to change, that allows seamless and personalized interaction. Introducing Workplace 360, HP's full lifecycle desktop management solution delivered as a service. User subscriptions allow you to gain financial control and flexibility. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. GoToAssist, brought to you by Citrix. It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist. Brought to you by Citrix. It's remote support made easy.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gal.
Welcome back. So, Peter, we know that we all live in a resource-constrained world, but we really want to touch the moon as well. What is the secret sauce based on which you can truly align people, process, and technologies to build the dream world that we're talking here?
Well, I like a dream world. I think people, processes, and technologies obviously complement one each other, and they need to be examined. Too often we look at what we want to buy, what money we have available, and we do sometimes realize after the fact that the skill set may not be there to support it. So one, you can't be too strong in two of the three or even one of the three and not have a balance between the three. So those three legs of the stool are pretty significant. So while it's certainly true that we are always, in essence, and especially in IT, being asked to do, quote, more with less, end quote, I've always been fond of the phrase, creativity loves constraint. Marissa Meyer, now at Google, has made that a very popular statement. In April, the president challenged us to, quote, do more with less and called on us to find ways to streamline and expand our services. This was in the WhiteHouse.gov blog that dealt with doing more with less and saving $500 million through IT reform. So becoming more efficient and cost-effective is the vision. And while there's no prescriptive solution that every agency must follow, given the varying mission and the varying budgets, it's still a vision, a strategy, I think, that, and going back to what Jay was speaking to, how do you develop that strategy? Because I don't think anybody would argue that point. What's common? Budgets are being reduced. And what's common is we have to be more strategic. We have to be more innovative in how we provide services, especially as transformation is occurring. So anyone listening on this show, I can probably assure that the solution isn't to do more in the same way we've always been doing things. There are so many hours in the day. We're asking people to do just one more thing on top of their existing activities is not what this transformation is about. It's rethinking the way we're doing our businesses. How do you keep the bar steady? Do you really try to push the envelope of innovation in these tough times or these cutback times, or do we just want to keep the lights on, be steady state? I don't agree with the latter. I think that we are charged in the IT community to be constantly revisiting our people, our process, our technologies. We need to rely on the advances of technologies to ensure that we could find easier ways to accomplish a defined task. And those savings that we realize, a lot of the times people think that those savings or those costs that are avoided through technology deployment should be reinvested. Well, I don't disagree with that if it's truly reinvested in IT strategic methodology, but you should never bank on it. And I think that's a sign of if we were figuring out a way, or we have figured out a way, to save money through a technological innovation, then maybe that's showing us that we can do more with less. In enterprise architecture speak, this is talking about shifting our investments from steady state to more of that development, modernization, and enhancement focus. And that's not always materialized. So just to summarize your point that there's a lot of vision out there. I mean, the White House pushes vision, the OMB pushes vision, the federal CIO pushes vision, agencies adopt the vision, but when we deploy or really have to come up with how are we going to make it happen, I think that's where things break down, and it's real easy to not embrace solutions like telework, tablets, open source collaboration, a performance-based culture, and to resort back to, well, if it ain't broke, then maybe we don't need to fix it. And that is where I think we hit the wall. And if we can just every day operate with some sense of urgency to improve our mission, to enable any collaborative or timely action with our customers, to engage in that dialogue, I think we'll be moving forward. Our secretary has stated that we must always strive to raise the bar on our own performance, and it's why operational and technical excellence is part of our strategic plan, if you were to read it. And that's how we enable our greatest resources, which are the people. So it's a tough challenge, but one that I'm personally excited to tackle, and the folks in the Office of the CIO here at the Department of Energy are tackling as well.
Jay, 1 minute. Cloud paradigm requires mechanically defined transformation process. It looks like it, and so does many of these other things that we are trying to do. Do you think we are like robots and deliver this in that immaculate, impeccable execution model so that we really get the ROI, or we know that we are human beings and will be able to, we will commit mistakes or we will make mistakes and we will have issues and still be able to get through?
Yeah, absolutely. We are not mechanical beings. We are human beings. We're social creatures. We have wants and needs and express opinions on an hourly, daily basis. I think from a transformational perspective, and the cloud paradigm is really pushing this. Whether you do the transformation internally or whether you have the assistance of an outsourcer or another vendor or partner, you really need to make sure that you have scoped the transformation so that you know what the endpoint is and you can measure it and you can actually state that this is the ROI that we're going to achieve, and then you achieve it. Too often transformation processes start and they kind of they wiggle around, they waver, and they don't get to the state that you expect, which is why the business is now very cautious about giving money up to do these sorts of things. But I think executing with a kind of military precision to a certain extent is really, really important. But likewise, you need to make sure that you have the people who are willing to take that journey with you, are willing to drive that journey. They're not afraid of change. They want to learn outside of their comfort zone and take in, on board new skills and reach out and understand other parts of the organization. And you're going to need people who have a governance and a process specialist background. And it doesn't just stop there. Your legal, your financial, your commercial people are going to have to grasp what it means for on-demand. And the traditional ways that we've done things in the past are not going to be valid. They are going to have to think outside the box. So things are going to change. And it's your people and the way that you implement, you scope and implement the transformation that is crucially important going forward.
All right, 30 seconds, Rad, for you. ROI is the big number, big thing here, and we are talking about hard numbers. Is that possible to show hard numbers, and can we achieve the success in months versus trying to promise years?
Well, we have to, right? The business is moving faster, and we need to respond to that. So ROIs are being reduced. Expectations are higher than ever. Costs and resources are constrained as ever. So we need a very crisp vision to mobilize the necessary commitment and resources to execute these. The good news is the cloud offers an opportunity to improve your ROI by shifting what traditionally has been fixed cost to an organization, the licensing cost, the infrastructure cost, the implementation cost, to a more flexible, consumptive operating cost. Essentially, you can buy now instead of build. And that enhances your ROI. It's more rapid. You consume the cost is aligned with the revenue and consumed with the usage of it. And you don't have these stranded fixed costs if you see a shock to your business that was unanticipated in the original ROI, be that a business cycle downturn or a new competitor or an M&A activity. So the cloud offers that huge opportunity to accelerate your ROI because you're consuming by the drink rather than making this huge upfront investment. So I think that's a pretty strong business case for buying instead of building these capabilities.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, really thank you, Brad, Peter, and Jay, for sharing your thoughts on how can IT help prepare business and itself for fluid customer expectations.
Thank you, Sanjo.
And listeners, if you have any questions, please send us to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjay Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.